You let one ant stand up to us, then they all might stand up. Those puny little ants outnumber us 100 to 1. And if they ever figure that out, there goes our way of life. It's not about food. It's about keeping those ants in line. That's why we're going back. Does anybody else want to stay? Let's ride!
Look, we're right back where we started. Only it's 7:08. I'm usually on my second tirade by now. And now I'm just so fucking pissed off that the show started so late. First, I had all my shit laid out over here. And it couldn't have happened on a worse night because I was already fired up. Already fired up. I'm looking at this guy climbing up the side of Trump Tower or wherever the hell he was in Manhattan with the suction cups like it's Superman 1978. And I'm thinking to myself, my God, I had a really unproductive day. This guy climbed up the side of a fucking building. Who the hell had a more productive day than him? So I get in over here, and everything is nice and set up. The music is ready. The lighting is ready. All the notes are out. All the links are out. We're good to go. Blue screen of death. All the computers turn off. I get all that back on just in time for 7:59, and then all of a sudden the microphones don't work. But Mike came and saved the day, and here we are, taking a little bit off the top now. I hope everybody's doing well. This is Quite Frankly. I'm Frankly. And what's going on, Gadget Doc? What's going on, Johnny Vroom? Moonlit Matt, my employer. Rumble and Roar, Nikki. Iron Forestry, what's going on, man? Mr. Jimmy's here, Raven Girl, a bunch of people who are watching but not in the chat room. Please get in there. It's going to be a sexy one tonight. It's going to be a sexist one tonight. But first I want to start off, because everything in the first half hour here is going to be somewhat about the Olympics. I want to start off and talk about Michael Phelps for a real quick second, because I know that there was a little bit going on. Some people had were of the opinion that Michael Phelps should not have been bearing the American flag while all the nation's athletes were walking around in the Olympics, this stupid dog and pony show as it is anyway. And instead the Muslim fencer should have, because of course, you know, Michael Phelps, 4 Olympic appearances, 25 medals altogether, 21 gold. But you know, she wears a hijab, so she definitely deserves it. This fucking bullshit. And let me tell you something. I know, yeah, it's the Olympics. It's nonsense. It's commercialized horseshit. And I don't want to be a complainer all the time. We talk about some pretty inspiring, you know, soul-lifting things on this show. I'd have to say, I feel pretty inspired at the end of some shows. You guys inspire me with what's going on in the chat room when it's not completely perverted, and we contribute to some really good conversation. But let's just be honest. We're living in a real fucked up time, and the only way we're going to get through it is to get angry. Okay? You got to use the anger a little bit. Now, not let the anger take you over, but as far as the emotional ladder that we've got to climb ourselves to get to some kind of point of prosperity and somewhat unity, some semblance of unity. We got to climb up the emotional scale right now. We've got our tails between our legs. We're afraid. We're timid to say things, and we're combining, for the most part, all those fear-based emotions with ignorance. And I'm not saying ignorance like everybody's walking around like a knuckle-dragging idiot. I'm talking about, there's a general layer of ignorance all over the world, not just the United States. And is that because people aren't educated from K to 12 properly? Oh, well, listen, we can talk about education one night, but no, everybody goes to school. Everybody knows their ABCs. Everybody knows basic you know, subtraction and addition. We know all that stuff. We know the time of day. We know who's running for the president. But as far as the misinformation and the propaganda that we're soaked in, people who otherwise are pretty bright and would be able to process information have been rooked of that ability. So, is it to everybody's, you know, is it everybody's fault, individual's fault, that they've been made ignorant? Not necessarily. But self-education needs to be a number one priority. People have got to get their noses in books again. They got to stop reading fucking comment sections on clickbait articles and trying to take away knowledge from that. Everybody's reading the comment section for their news. That's exactly what the hell's going on here. They read their friends' social media statuses, and there you go. You know what's going on in the world. Fucking sick. And the Olympics ties right into it, and all this bullshit, and the way we're supposed to be talking. We're not about labels, but we're only going to sell our ideas with labels and segregation. It's exactly what's happening right now. And to say that, Michael Phelps, who just was just a... he looked like Godzilla last night, just tearing up Tokyo. Motherfucker is an animal, okay? I don't follow swimming. Lauren was a swimmer. She knows her stuff. She likes that stuff more than I do. But I like seeing people compete. I like seeing people competing and trying to be the best in the fucking world. That really gets me off. You know, he's a guy, Michael Phelps is a winner. And that's what we used to be about, at least over here in the United States. Winning. We win. We want to be the best that we can. Everybody wanted to be the best they could in their field, and we competed. At least I read about it. The 90s was the first decade I was really conscious, and I was just learning how to jerk off. But that just happens to be one of the better decades still left on the books. The pre-9/11 days. But man, I remember the winning attitude 100%. I knew that we weren't afraid, that the object of the game was to win. And if you came in second place, you were still a loser. And you got to go back. But it wasn't meant for you to say, sit down and never get up and try again. To know that you lost was a very, very important lesson that we were once able to learn. You remember that show we had a week and a half ago where the main question of the night was, are we being masked? Is the government, is society taking away our right to feel pain? They're giving us pain. They're giving us pains that they approve of because they're pains that they could manage and only they can propose to be the cure. Only they could be the proposed cure. That's why they make up and they really just ingratiate all of these fucking social justice issues ad nauseum. And the Olympics, of course, what better place to put all your social justice bullshit right on a pedestal, especially in 2016, when we've already been retaught how to communicate with each other, how to see the world through the snot-colored lens, okay? You know that great Alexander Pope quote? All is yellow to the jaundiced eye. Check that out. Oh, my God. But the Olympics, Michael Phelps, he's just a winner. And I was just, you know, I'm eating. I got my dinner in my hands. And I'm just like, yeah, man. Motherfucker just decisively. That first round, that first match where he got to take revenge on the guy that beat him in England or something like that. Oh, my God, dude. Not only did he beat him, the guy didn't even place. No, last Olympics, he got showed up by somebody, I think, or something happened. And so he took that one, and then with the relay at the end, just goddamn it, man, it was awesome. And I want to see winning again. I want to see just people foaming at the mouth, ready to work. Nobody wants... I don't get any... You know how you can feel energy when you walk into a room? You can also feel energy when you walk into a street, too. And you see people shuffling, staring, waddling from side to side, shuffling, staring into their phone, shuffling, and just kind of just waiting through. You can tell the people, if you know how to read energy, you can tell the people who are on a mission that day. You can tell how they are working their way down the sidewalk. You can just tell this stuff. I don't see it anywhere, man. But these Olympians, they're great. They're great. And to go out there and win, we didn't need token wins and moral victories. No token gestures. What is with this shit? The fact that a man like Michael Phelps is competing and actively competing and still winning medals in the most prolific of ways, there's any question as to who should be the flag bearer, who the admiral on the flagship that is United States Olympian, a class of Olympians 2016 should be, with his prestige and his accomplishments. Anybody who has that type of acclaim and that type of accomplishment under the belt should be leading the charge anywhere. That's it. I don't care who it is, what their gender is, whatever. We need to get back to being a meritocracy again. And we have to stop saying that hard work is offensive. That's number one. And you know what? Let's stick with the motherfucking Olympics. Because, ladies and gentlemen, we have here, from the Huffington Post, at the epicenter, okay, the center of the spider web of all craziness, them in Ceylon, the king and the queen spiders, the Huffington Post... from a day ago, updated a day ago. Top 10 most sexist things to occur at the 2016 Rio Olympics so far. We're going to take them one by one because this is hilarious. Okay? Here's number one. As three-time world champion Simone Biles, who is amazing, the entire girls' gymnastics team is unbelievable. I don't know too much about gymnastics, but I know the way that the human body can move and should move. And I think any one of us at home knows when they're watching some kind of a sport that is foreign to them, you can still get a feel of when somebody screws up, when somebody's not supposed to fall, when somebody sticks a landing, when somebody looks smooth or stiff. Or you can tell. You're human. You know how humans move. We get it. And that is, I'm telling you, the way that these girls handle themselves, their physical specimens, the balance, the coordination, the athleticism, it is so unbelievable. Goddamn, breathtaking. And they're another one. They're another group that just pile drive their way through. Unbelievable. Well, in either case, as Simone Biles flies from uneven bars and soars above the mat before sticking a near-perfect landing, NBC commentator Jim Watson says, "I think she might even go higher than some of the men. For whatever reason, a lot of male NBC anchors decided viewers might not fully grasp how talented these female athletes are without first comparing them to men. This was the first of many times they did this throughout the games. And each of the time, it was just as unnecessary as the first." Well, let me tell you something about Simone Biles. I wanted to go, when I saw this, I was like, okay, well, first of all, this the author is an absolute nut job. This is nothing to be upset about. Right off the bat, you know that men, they are built a different way. Okay? I don't care if they compete in the same type of event. They are still two different types of animal. Two different types of structure, power, we know this. Upper body strength, we know this. It's just a fact. A fact of science. There's nothing wrong with that. So if we know this, if science has proven that male bodies are naturally more powerful than women's, that men and women competing in the same sport, men will definitely have a better time, especially if the sport requires power. Okay? So to say that a man is going to be able to generate a little bit more torque and throw themselves higher into the air on any kind of a gymnastics level, then of course there is going to be a lot more of a steady differential. And for a girl, to go beyond what is average for even the most trained, honed girl out there, or woman. Most of these gymnastics girls are like 15 and below. The Chinese say that they're sending out a 20-year-old. They look 9. So you take it for whatever value you want. We know that is remarkable. In fact, it's a compliment that she went beyond what even most Olympians do. It's a compliment. You see how the mental illness takes compliments and turns them into slights? This is a mental illness. This is not social justice. It's a mental illness. So I went, I said, you know what? Aside from the obvious reasons why somebody would make this observation, I'm going to go just see what Simone Biles, her makeup was. Her height, she's 4'9". 4'9", weight, 115 pounds. This is a small girl. Obviously, most of that 115 pounds is solid muscle. So this is a small girl who is able to generate that much power. You know what kind of clam-like, muscle-like power you need? That's amazing. And then you have this. 4'9", 115 pounds. So go fuck yourself. That's it. That's all I have to say on that, piece of shit. Number two. The Chicago Tribune labeled two-time bronze medal-winning Olympian Corey Cogdell as the wife of Bears lineman. Not only as an Olympic medal-winning world-class athlete being reduced by simply a wife, but it doesn't even matter which lineman she's married to. Being married to the vague idea of a professional football player, no matter which one, is more deserving of a call-out than the women being one of the best trap shooters in the world. Okay, well, listen. Listen, fuckface. The Chicago Tribune obviously wants to get the attention of local sports fans by leading with a name drop of their hometown football team. You think that that's possible? Nah. Couldn't have had anything to do with it. No, your mental illness strikes again. But not only that, I think it's funny how she's a trap shooter, so now you're starting to see the Huffington Post do their whole narrative juggle. So do you think a pro-gun headline would have done better? American rifle woman? Bronze? They say she's an Olympian, but only until the last sentence do they say she's a trap shooter. They make you think that she's a curling champion or something like that. Sounds like the Huffington Post is trying desperately to get their wedge issue narratives in order, if you ask me. Do we run the story that the Chicago Olympian is a medalist in firearms from a city with the highest gun violence in the universe? Or do we run the sexism story and hope no one really weighs in on the guns part? Fuck off. There's another one. Number three. Everyone is making a big deal out of the U.S. Olympic gold medalist Dana Vollmer having a baby more than a year ago. She'll be the first woman to win a medal after having a baby, the NBC commentator says, because they love to get real granular with the whole first-to-win labels. Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama say what? Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama say what? The fuck are you talking about? Another thing that if it was a woman who said it, the woman commentator said it, they would say, yeah, it is. It is great. It's really great. She'll be the first. So the first to win labels. The media attention around her being a mother, it's hard to find an article that doesn't mention she's a new mom. Because once again, from the Chicago Tribune with the Bears, A, women just don't want to be wives and moms anymore, I guess. Feminists don't want to be wives and moms. They don't want anybody else to be wives and moms either. It's not cool. It's not hip to be part of the next generation of humanity and be a vital, natural part of it, because that's really all we are. That's really all we are when you take ego out of it. Not cool. It's not hip for women to make choices, to feminists. implies that women who have children are less than capable of all things they did, implies that women who have children are then incapable of all things they did before giving birth, which isn't true. In fact, research suggests the opposite. Well, bitch, we're not talking about the grocery bagger who went back to grocery bagging. We're not talking about the insurance saleswoman or the real estate agent who eventually went back to selling insurance and real estate. We're talking about the top tier of athlete in the world. Do you know how hard it is for some women to come back from a pregnancy? Because what pregnancy actually does to the abdominal region and your core, especially if it's a cesarean or anything like that. Do you know? Okay, maybe you'll be able to get back to swimming your laps at the pool fairly easily, but to compete and to win on an Olympic stage again, that is once again a compliment. It's a testament to a woman's achievement for something that is very hard to do. It also has to do with timing in life as well. Obviously, the gymnastics girls are not going to be having kids at 14 and competing at 17. It's unbelievable. So once again, go fuck yourself. Number four. Oh my God, there's 10 of these. Oh my God. You see, I'm only one person. All right, let's keep going. When 19-year-old Katie Ledecky was busy breaking a world record in the 400-meter freestyle by nearly a full 2 seconds, NBC commentator Rowdy Gaines said, "Some people say she swims like a man." Probably talking about his slew of sexist co-workers at NBC. "She doesn't swim like a man. She swims like Katie Ledecky." It's great of Gaines to make this point. See. But it's not a point he should have to make. So, commentator Gaines says, "Some people say she swims like a man." And then he comes back to say, "She doesn't swim like a man. She swims like Katie Ledecky." So he comes back to her aid. And she's accusing NBC co-workers, male co-workers. But still, people should be able to acknowledge her incredible athletic ability without comparing her to a man. Okay, we do. You couldn't win the medal without having already had this amazing accomplishment take place in front of television cameras that expose you to the whole world. The whole world. But what are we looking at? We're comparing which country. So now we can't compare ourselves to China or Russia. Okay, we can't compare. No country. Italy can't compare himself to Zimbabwe. Nobody can compare themselves anymore. We're not going to compare countries and genders, even though it's all people who are beyond what we could ever get to. It's sports. This is what we do. We talk stats. We talk this. We talk height. We talk power numbers. What kind of a player were they? Do they stack up against that one? Do they stack up against this one? If this player played in that era, who would be better? This is sports for all you freaks who usually don't spend time around people who watch athletics, who think that this is some kind of a fucking day at the opera. What the hell do you think? You think we're watching Bob Ross paint? What the fuck do you think that this is? This is sports. Welcome to the world of sports. We compare everything. So fuck off. Number five. Immediately after Hungary's Katina Hozu broke the world record in 400-meter individual medley, hard emphasis on individual. Oh, God, you make me want to rip my nuts off. NBC announcer Dan Hicks immediately focused all the attention on and gave all the credit to Hozu's coach and husband, Shane Tusup, saying he was the man responsible for her performance. He since defended his comments, saying it's impossible to tell Katinka's story accurately without giving appropriate credit to Shane. Despite many believing Tusup uses fear tactics to push Hozu. Oh, God. Even if Tusup deserves credit for his role in coaching Hozu, she was still the one in the pool. No, really? We thought that we never would have guessed that she was the actual athlete, the actual person in the pool swimming the race in her lane. I was under the impression that her husband had flayed her the night before and worn her skin and swam in her place because he suddenly realized at the last minute, the 11th hour, she wasn't good enough to win on her own. That's what I thought would happen. So thank God you guys at the Huffington Post clarified that for me. I thought that this was some kind of Silence of the Lambs escape story. That was amazing. So and she broke the world records, so maybe wait for her to at least dry off and accept her medal before gushing about Tusup. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know if you were watching those brilliant girls gymnastics team last night, as we've been talking about, but as you all know, here we go. We are the final five. That's what they kept. They branded themselves last night. We are the final five. We are the final. They did final five. And what was that? What was that? If you looked into it, and if they explained it later on after they got their medals, they explained. I mean, how many times did you hear it? How many times did they scream it? Straight out say they would have not been able to. They would not been able to achieve what they did without the training and the guidance of soon to be retired Martha Karoli, Karolyi, whatever it is. Her coach, who's been working with the U.S. team for how many Olympics now? I don't know, but this was her final set of kids. And there you go. There's all the praise. Humbly saying, now I guess it's because the athletes themselves genuflected before a coach, and of course the coach is female. So if a woman is kneeling to a woman, then I mean that is just the ultimate feminine victory. There nobody's gonna say anything about that. So we have to see everybody genuflect before Martha Karolyi. And nothing's said about that because it's girls and girls. But if somebody makes the observation that the work that a husband put in with an athlete wife, an Olympian wife, was a great influence and a great reason why she won, coaches mean everything in this stuff. Coaches mean anything, everything in plenty of things, plenty of sports, all sports. People have life coaches, for fuck's sake. But once again, it just comes down to just like skeevy, just nitpicking bullshit. There's no substance to it. I feel horrible even getting this out, but I just have to scream to somebody because I'm not going to write it on Facebook. That's for fuck's sake. Fuck's sake. So get the fuck out of here, you dingus. Number six. Turns out that even if you're an Olympic athlete, you still can't avoid being labeled as a girl when you're clearly a grown woman. You have the men's cycling team and the girls' cycling team. Ugh. Ugh. And another commentator referred to our four-time Olympic gold medalist, Missy Franklin, as an enthusiastic girl. Most of these commentators are so old and decrepit, they're shaking. What's wrong with Dan Patrick? Dan Patrick can't hold a fucking microphone steady. Bob Costas? These are old men now. Everybody are kids. Everybody's girls. The 20-year-olds look like girls to me now. The 20-year-olds look like 15-year-olds, some of them, in the face. Unbelievable. Just stop it. Just stop. How many women want to be girls after a certain age anyway? All of them. They all start lying about their age at 30. You don't think they want to be girls again? Get the fuck out of here. What? Pick a stereotype. I know you're reaching here to get to 10, you piece of shit, but whatever. In number seven, in between dominating the competition, the U.S. gymnastics team talked to each other on the sidelines. Most of them not most likely not about boys and makeup, but if they were, that'd be fine too. It's like she felt herself going to make a statement and then backpedaling just to stay neutral, to be obnoxiously neutral. Because they're hanging out on the sidelines, the U.S. gymnastics girls, most likely not talking about boys and makeup. But if they were, that'd be fine too. See, I'm still on your side, girls. Be girls, but don't talk about boys. You can talk about them. Don't do it. You can talk about boys and makeup. Just don't do it, though. Okay? You might piss somebody off. They might as well be standing around at the mall, Jim Watson said, ignoring the fact that after training 30-plus hours every week, these young women probably don't have too much time to go shopping. His response to criticism was even more cringeworthy, saying, "Don't boys hang out in the mall, too? I did." And with that logic, sexism is solved. No, sexism will never be solved because asshats like you still have access to computers and keyboards. Sexism will never be solved because asshats like you still have access to computers. These girls, the ease at which they blew through everything that came in their way to win the gold is testament to how hard they worked. They worked so hard that in their downtime on the sidelines, they were poised. They were calm. They were cool. They were just hanging out like they were back home at a mall somewhere, which, you know what, didn't used to be a bad thing in the 80s and 90s. That used to be the thing that kids, that girls did. It just used to be okay. It used to be okay to be the norm. Why is that okay? You know, you chill at the mall. You're relaxed. You ain't got a care in the world. And the level of dominance we saw coming from these girls seemed almost effortless. Dominance. No one thinks they became that good by hanging out at JCPenney, you fucking twit. Thought I was going to call you a twat, didn't you? But I respect you more than that. Unbelievable. Let's see. I don't even want to do 8 and 9. NBC Chief Marketing Officer John Miller declared that women aren't into sports, but they're very into reality TV. When explaining the network's tape delay and packaging of the Olympics, Miller said, "People who catch the Olympics are not particularly sports fans." Didn't we just say that? Of course. And the idiot writing this article doesn't get it. The idiot, who is obviously really not a sports fan. Anybody who's a sports fan knows how sports are. You can make comparison. We already said this before. So the idiot doesn't even know that they're writing about this subject is actually testament that that number 8 is true, that they do not know sports. They're not in it for the sports. They're in it for the social commentary, the toxic social commentary. That's all they are. Clickbait monsters. And more women watch the games than men. And for the women, they're less interested in the result and more interested in the journey, in the story. It's sort of like the ultimate reality show and miniseries wrapped into one. So that's the end of the quote. Then the nitwit at Huffington Post says, "This is offensive on all kinds of levels." No. No, bitch. It's true, bitch. It's true. It's just simply true. It's just simply true. Think about it. Any big time sporting event, whether it be a Super Bowl, that you know more people who don't watch the football watch the Super Bowl just because it's an event. Whether it be a music competition, whether it be the World Series, whether it be the World Cup, no matter what the fuck it is, there is always a story, because people who don't know the nuts and bolts in and out of all these events need something to follow along to. They need something to root for, someone to root for. This is what attracts people. that hopefully do get interested in the sport afterward. It's not sexist. It's just the truth. And there's nothing wrong with it. Why are you so insecure of that truth is the real fucking question. Why are you so insecure with that being the truth? Number 9 of this useless bastard's article. I gotta start using the word bastard more. That made me laugh. I'm gonna have to listen to the, I have to finish this up because I have an Alex Jones thing I want to do with people. I hope people are liking this. Let me look in the chat room. Yeah, everybody's just talking about their own thing. I'm still all alone. It doesn't matter. I'm still all alone. Number 9. After Sweden's Sara Strosarm broke her arm, world record, broke her own, sorry, broke her own world record. I said broke her arm. After she broke her own world record in the 100-meter butterfly, she was continually asked by NBC anchors if she was going to do the samba on Copacabana Beach, which she apparently said she'd do if she won. Not only was NBC oddly fixated on this, they weren't so far as to suggest the offhand comment was interesting for this reason. It's unclear how seriously the Swedes take the 200-meter freestyle. I don't know. In either case, who cares? If they said that they're, you know, Emmett Smith, what are you going to do? I'm going to go to Disney World. I'm going to go to Disneyland. Now that you won the Super Bowl, what are you going to do now? They just want to know what they're thinking. And a lot of these people are talking to foreigners that don't speak very good English. I don't know if this woman does or not. Maybe she does. Who knows? But sometimes anchors and journalists just don't know what to ask people. So they go cotton candy about it. Because remember, these people don't know too much about the sport themselves. They bring on some past Olympians to give some technical commentary, but these are just five-tool player broadcasters. These are guys that can do a World Series, then a NASCAR, then another Fox event, and over there they'll do an award show. They just know how the game works. They just know whatever. But they defer to the specialists to talk about what's actually happening mechanically. They can't go down there and ask people what's going on. Like Meredith Marakovich can go down and ask a Yankee pitcher, what was wrong with his curveball that night. They're not going to ask, hey, what was going on with that third lap? It looked like you weren't really striding that far. Can you tell us a little bit what you were thinking as you were drowning or stop trying not to drown? As you're trying to prevent yourself from drowning? Can't. Okay, number 10. This one is the funniest. Rio promises the, quote, sexiest ever Olympic opening ceremony, with the source saying that there will be lots of nearly naked women doing the samba. The costumes have been designed to show off as much flesh as possible, which means as little material as they can get away with, they added. Then they also say, this is Brazil, after all, where the female body is celebrated like no other place on earth. While this is a nice sentiment, it's also not entirely accurate, considering a recent report revealed a woman is raped every 11 minutes in Brazil. What? You're conflating two issues. Crime, and violent crime, and what? How many, what's the male rape rate over there in Brazil? How many minutes between then? Half hour? People are, yeah, there's violent crime out there. Why are you conflating that with the fact of what Brazil comes off as to the rest of the world, which is a very flavorful culture, very beautiful women? What do we know about Brazil? Through all popular culture, that is very well embraced popular culture. Energetic music, Latin flavor, sexy dances, overt usage of sex in every aspect of television, from news to comedy. Everybody's got cleavage spilling out all over the place. Everybody's got a 10 for an ass. We know beach life. We know really golden brown bodies, tanned bodies, sun-kissed bodies. That's all we know. We know exotic things. This is what the rest of the world knows. What are they going to portray at the Olympics? People walking around in business suits? People flying kites and wearing snuggies. pajama pants? What are you fucking talking about? That's all we know. I know every year, and I have to go out and get this. This was here's Daily Mail. Miss Bum Bum 2016 contestants bring traffic to a standstill. They flash the best assets, thong bikinis in Brazil in the middle of the street because their yearly ass competition is coming up soon. The one time a year where they do pretty much Miss Universe, but for asses? My God, Huffington Post. You. Oh, my God. Holy shit, are you an embarrassment to logic, to cool-thinking people all around the world. You are an embarrassment. An absolute embarrassment. You were not worth any of this. But I knew, just from the headline, that it would make a good 40 minutes of screaming. Well worth it. I feel so much more exercised. If nothing else, you are a great squeeze toy for me, you worthless bastards. Okay, well, let's go on to something funny. Alex Jones last night. Matt, is that microphone on? I guess not. Hold on. All right, so now every once in a while, you know what? Let me go on a really quick break. I'm going to go on a quick break. Be right back, everybody.
Bulletproof has always been about identifying and taking advantage of every single thing that makes people perform better. When you drink it, you just don't care about food. No cravings, no hunger for 4 to 6 hours, and you feel a kind of mental clarity that you probably haven't felt in years.
Have you heard of Bulletproof coffee? I tried it today. I feel pretty good.
Entertainment Network on ZenLive.tv.
Okay, so I'm very sorry for everybody out there. I really hope I don't turn you off when I go on loud tirades like that. I hope it's a little bit more of a sobering thing to you guys, and it is jarring because when you think about it, or when I think about it, well, the reason why I justify the rants that I go on like that sometimes is just because I feel like at least we come to a little bit more of a wholesome understanding of what the hell's happening and what really you don't have to be afraid of and what you don't have to be upset with. Okay, and maybe sometimes I just have to take a calmer approach, but it's not going to happen. You just have to take that for what it is. So now, here's the Alex Jones show. Let me talk about Alex Jones for a second. I listen to InfoWars every once in a while. I will take... I listen to a lot of talk radio. But every once in a while, I'll listen to Alex Jones. A lot more lately because, let's be honest, a lot of his theories are coming true. Regardless of just how much of a maniac he is. And I would still love to have him on the show. I would love to have him call. That would be so fun. So fucking fun. And he's just very amusing to me. And he loses me a lot. And a lot of times, I gotta say, it's become almost like a comedy type of thing for me. You know, I get what he's saying. I know what ideas he's trying to get across. And I like the way that he reports the news sometimes. And he's got great guests and good correspondence on. A little bit too commercial heavy and all that. But come on, it's the entertainment. I mean, everybody, if you know what you're talking about, if you read the news every day, you can kind of connect the dots and all that stuff, and it makes sense, and you understand where it's going, and you know what points are valid, and when he's just saying something that's absolutely ridiculous. But listen to this. I started laughing, and I took a shower this morning at like 12:30 a.m. Okay, it was a little bit past midnight, and I wanted to take a shower right before I went to bed so that the pores were open and that the ceiling fan would make it feel like a nice beachy breeze. As I'm going to sleep, no stickiness, no mugginess, all that stuff. I love a nice pre-bed shower. So I put on the podcast. So there I am. I got the Christmas lights, the red, white, and blue star Christmas lights that are around the what is it? The medicine cabinet mirror. So it's got a nice glow in there, and I'm listening to this guy go off. And listen to what he's saying. He's just describing what's going on with the whole Hillary Clinton having the terrorist's father right behind her in the crowd of clapping seals. But listen to the tangent he goes off on, like describing what's going on in society with this. It's very, very weird, and I just thought it was so weird, I had to bring it up. Hold on a second.
Is doddering.
Wait. He's talking about Hillary Clinton right now.
Phyllis Schlafly, at what, 90 years old, is more together than Hillary Clinton when you see her give a speech. Her body's frail, but her brain is still 95% there.
Okay,
compared to the incredible intellect she was, she's now just an intellect, a strong intellect. Hillary is gone. Ain't there, ladies and gentlemen, whacked out of her brain.
Now,
and you can tell she's on drugs.
Now watch.
Speed, you name it. That's why she can get charged up and just be all angry. That's why she can't have press conferences. That's why she's like, I'm sorry, I got short-circuited. Oh, Benghazi. I mean, her first
watch
press
this.
Conference in a year. And then you've got this guy.
Here we go. Here we go. Listen to this.
Who doesn't even have any shame. Here's the big issue. Omar Mateen's daddy, Sadiq, the famous Taliban jihadi, brought over here by the CIA in the late 1980s. This is all, he's driving around his Mercedes, his modern Mercedes, and getting out of his $85,000 car to bring in millions of people. Before I punched up Drudge and saw that, I was going to come on air and
here
say, I almost can't even do this show anymore.
Here you go. He starts getting
depressed.
I'm going
to skip this break, guys.
He's going to skip the break. I go, we'll get
we'll go out with the next segment with Twilight Zone. Because it's getting so crazy that it's almost like even sitting up here on air and laughing at all this.
Here you go.
And playing videos and saying what's coming next almost turns us into sick spectators who are tied down watching little demons eat our toes off. And we're like, look at that little demon. He just ate my big toe, and now he's chewing at my heel. Oh, look, I'm bleeding all over the table. Oh, another one just climbed up, and I'm chained down. And, oh, look, they're fighting with each other. Look how evil they are. Doesn't matter. We're chained down with them eating our feet. Now they're metaphorically climbing up with sewing needles and jamming them in our eyes. And we're like, look at this country. It'll never wake up when we're all the body politic being attacked.
Oh, my God. I just stopped and just, I was just so grateful. I was just so grateful. They're sticking sewing needles in our eyes. All right, guys. That's it for tonight. All we did was the sexism at the Olympics. So that was funny. I can't wait to go listen to this. This will be up before... before midnight tonight. Just a couple of quick announcements before we get off and leave you to the loving arms of being human with Scotty Milan. It comes up next at 8. I just want to let you know that whereas I did start a Patreon to be able to present it to businesses to who hopefully want to contribute to the funding of this show and the further development of this show, which I think one day has the makings of a two-hour show maybe. Daily. We'll see. But in either case, it is also an opportunity for you guys, if you wanted to just drop in four quarters into the Patreon, a dollar a month. I think that would be great if one day we can just see a couple of hundred subscribers at a dollar a month, and we can get an intern to help us with the booking and maybe some marketing. That's really where all the first types of things that we're trying to raise right here would be going into it, actually expand the operation here. So if you like the conversations that we're having and all that stuff, please check out patreon.com/ quite frankly, and drop a buck in there. Matt, Moonlit Matt in the chat room, I'm working for him right now for $17.76 a month. So Matt is my employer. So if you have any problems, you have to go to him. If you want to complain, you have to go to Matt, Moonlit Alter in the chat room. And then also, I don't know, that's it. I hope you have a great, great night. And the humidity sucks. But we will be back tomorrow night, 7 p.m., and I hope you guys have a good one. Talk to you soon. Coming up next, Being Human. So don't go anywhere. Anywhere. Seriously. If you like this, conversation, you'll like the next one.
Thank you.